Welcome to the Osir Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Leonard Gebhardt from ICN Business School in Nancy, France. He co-authored a paper entitled Strategic Adjustment: How Sustainable Entrepreneurs Address the Dual Liabilities of Newness and Otherness. He co-authored this paper with Haus and Katharina Haus. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Talent Francis. Now, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much. I appreciate to be here with you.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Yes, sure. So, it's important for me to say that this research topic, the investigation, is pretty much entangled with my own personal biography. I've been before doing my master's with Ashoka, a network of social entrepreneurs, as a volunteer in Mexico City. And that was basically the first time that I was confronted with the question how entrepreneurs with a social objective make the most of their context, make the most of the city. And also that kind of urged the need and me to then double tap on that topic. So a few years later, I then started with my dissertation. My dissertation initially was having this broad scope of sustainable entrepreneurs in startup ecosystems. And in this broad overarching topic, I started with conducting interviews. I started going to events. I started building my own network here in Berlin. And the more then I also involved in the in the talks and the interviews with the people, the more I also got in touch with Jens, the more that we looked at the interviews, the more this topic was then also shaped and more and clearly came out together. Then also with my supervisor of the PhD dissertation, Katharina Stöhr, who then supported this journey from the start. That there were two main observations. First, the liability of newness that basically every entrepreneur has in his or her life. And then additionally, for sustainable entrepreneurs, also such liability of otherness. So that people actually cannot say, what is this guy? What is he, she talking about? What is he trying to achieve? As he is, particularly in a setting as in Germany, not doing a non-profit, not doing an NGO, an association, with his the advice with his organization. So that is then the type of the otherness. So that got us thinking, how do they deal with these conflicting logics that were kind of imposed on them from the surrounding, from the context that they are part of. So and then after this immersion in the phenomenon, we were then able to carve out more about this ambivalence of how these entrepreneurs deal with different institutions. And our research question was then, how do sustainable entrepreneurs embed themselves into institutional fields? And why do their strategies differ, if at all? So that is the setup, that's our context of the study.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
So I talk now about the context of entrepreneurs, how they are dealing with liability of otherness and newness. But we wanted to also give entrepreneurs something that they can do about it. And we found out more about the crucial role of embeddedness. Embeddedness is an established concept in entrepreneurship research. And we found out about how entrepreneurs can use embeddedness more actively. And here we then read about this concept of agentsment. Agentsment was then used from Gerardi in a then later paper in Entrepreneurship Regional Development by Vikram Christoffersen and colleagues. And so we reveal how sustainable entrepreneurs use agentsment as an activity of establishing connections to overcome such mentioned expectations, such mentioned liabilities. As I mentioned, this concept of agentsment was existing already, and it was defined as a process by which entrepreneurs actively participate in embedding in different contexts. And we add this layer of the strategic agentsment. What can I do about it to actively then embed in different contexts. So we propose a model of strategic agencement. To put it quite straightforward, we start with the institutional barriers that sort of send impulses for alignment and market challenges, which these entrepreneurs face because of this liability of otherness. And then to overcome such liabilities, sustainable entrepreneurs can choose from three types of strategic agencements, which are then capacitating, relating to the individual level, conforming, relating to the organizational level, also conforming to the expectations that are out there, and then cutting, relating to both individual and organizational levels, where they then cut the ties that already exist. And personally, in particular to the sustainable entrepreneurship, I've found the strategy of capacitating very interesting, because their entrepreneurs build communities, strengthen their network, also form and ties based on storytelling to then also set the scene for their successful activities then later on. And not at first glance always then directed to the bottom line, but after a while you can see how that then is a precursor of their success. I would then also infer from that. And that I would say is the main contribution of our paper, this theoretical contribution also of the model of strategic agencement.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Very interesting question. You know, we started with interviews and we did interviews. We spoke to entrepreneurs. We spoke very openly in the beginning. Then we narrowed it down. Then we shared some things that we found out with the entrepreneurs. Then to go back to the data and then also to work more on our interview and guide. Lines and then our guidebook. And so we then after a while, when already engaging with the reviewers, we noted that of course there are two different things. We have this constructive mindset, but you know, entrepreneurs are telling us about their activities. It's not the same as then really observing entrepreneurs in their surrounding. I did not an ethnographic study where I would be in an organization. So in this exchange with the reviewers, we noted these are potentially two things. And it's a little bit act of balance to say, okay, well, that is really what we can say. That is what we make of it, of the data that we have. We interpret that is okay. I think based on what the interview said, of course, on the other side, it would be also very interesting to follow along with the entrepreneurs for quite a while to really see how they then deal and act in their context to go even beyond that. And that's what also was a thing quite of, the value that the reviewers brought in this and also interaction with the data that we have had and that found really cool in entrepreneurship and regional development, like having reviewers from into the tiny bits of details and then exchange themselves in this form of generative thinking with that what we have had and that was the challenge, but I think also brought quite some interesting insights then in the end.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Well, maybe not be counterintuitive in the sense that it really changed my way of thinking, but what I found interesting and what surprised me was the big role of people living together. This particular set of people who were living together in shared flats and used this shared flat as space to then also use it for the innovations, let people test it, let people then also interact with their prototypes, ask people that come to them, that visit them, what they think about it, use it to store their own things, then start the operations from there. And here this, living together, this also very personal connection to other entrepreneurs, to other people in their community, this intersections overlap of personal and private life with then the professional aspirations as an entrepreneur, then kind of surprised me. And I, just at least two interviews that I just can think of were actually conducted in these shared flats. And I found it quite interesting. Other told me in other interviews as well of the role of then their flats, of the role, so to say, that as a space for getting out their ideas and letting that evolve in such a setting.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
So the most obvious implication, I would say, is, of course, the choice of location for venturing that presupposes the potential for agencement. And that means, of course, you can only embed somewhere in a context when there is something. So that is also why people move from other parts in the country then to Berlin, because they see there is capital, there is maybe not so hard to deal with that liability of otherness than in other places. And then a little bit more straightforward, and then based on the theorizing that we did, I would say the implication is also the possibility to select from different strategies of agencement. That is then capacitating, that I mentioned, leveraging given structures, watching ties, conforming, adapting a business model to increase the perceived legitimacy in the eyes of then people in the context, institutions in the context, also with cutting, reduce liabilities, even maybe break ties with public and private actors in a network. And then selecting from these strategies that is, I would say, also of practical value. Then, however, it's not just catered towards then entrepreneurs. I think this paper is also to some extent based on the observations, based on the interviews that we did, catered to policymakers, and we urge them to be aware of this chicken or egg problem, that legitimacy reference to existing cases can inhibit them actually from then supporting organizations that are trying to add to sustainable developments, because they are, of course, prone to favor ideas that resemble success cases at the expense of the entrepreneurs who pursue sustainable innovation. That is related to this one thing, this camouflaging sustainability ambitions that we observe, a kind of thing that entrepreneurs, sustainable entrepreneurs do to not be as perceived in the liability of otherness, to be perceived as something more normal. We are like the other entrepreneurs, and we don't have to do anything with sustainability, because otherwise you may not fund us because you are skeptical about what we actually do. And so these are just some thoughts of mine about the practical and the implications.
Thanks a lot, Leonard, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Strategic Adjustment: How Sustainable Entrepreneurs Address the Dual Liabilities of Newness and Otherness. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.